Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
It's that time of the week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Happy Throwback Thursday.
Children of all ages.
Children of all ages. We're going to hit you with some fun stuff today.
Hit me with your best shot.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hit me with your best shot, far away.
Oh, all right. Is that your pop rock audition song, Ron?
That's Sherry Sanders taught me that. We rocked the audition together.
She literally wrote the book.
She literally, when I get into that falsetto range, it comes out like my Mandy Patinkin sort of like.
Yeah, you always kind of allude to that. I like that, though. I like when you go up there.
Hi, Cal.
He's like, hi, flying adult. You know, I was so confused by that when I was a kid listening to that, you know, cast album. Because I was like, is this how, am I supposed to sound like this? Because I guess I could do that. Just flip into head voice whenever it gets too high. You know, you're just like finishing the hat. You know, it's just
everything
fine.
Up, up, up and away.
And a beautiful balloon.
Didn't get a word of that. Not a word.
I said in a beautiful balloon.
Aha.
Uh-huh. It's an old song.
From my generation.
Oh my God. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Before we went on the air, I tried a Donald Trump impression. It did not work. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, tried one. It sounded like Jackie Mason.
It did.
So we're getting
there. We're working on that still, but we also really don't need to hear his voice that often because, you know.
But Jackie Mason is president? I think that's a really great idea. First of all,
that sounds like a movie from 1986.
You're right. It
you know what
is.
I mean? Like Jackie Mason, he's like in the White House.
With There's Sally.
Very kind of slightly racist jokes going on.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the 80s, so you get away with it.
So you can, like, nod your head and stuff.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, my God. You have a whole – this is actually a really great idea. We should do that. The movie that Jackie Mason should have made in the 80s. Sally Kellerman is the first lady. Oh, or Diane Cannon.
That's good. Sally Kellerman.
That's good.
Loretta Swit could be in there.
Loretta
somewhere.
Swit could be in there.
But she's probably doing summer stock somewhere, so we'll have to ask her
She's doing Shirley Valentine at Beef and Board, so she's unavailable.
Right. And then going to Patsy Cline at Forest Park.
She's making the circuit. She's making the circuit.
Everyone's got to work.
I wish.
Arsenic Colored Lace.
Loretta Swit and Sally Kellerman doing Arsenic on the Lace at the Pepper Pot.
Whenever you say Kellerman, I always picture the Night of the Hunter, the studio recording. And that was the big name that advertised it, other than Ron Raines, was Sally Kellerman, I think, making like, I think that's what, I think I'm right on that.
God bless Sally Kellerman. Whatever. Get her on the show.
Oh, you know what? How about since we last talked, they dropped the news, the article about a West Side Story. I know you're not a big Twitter person. I love Twitter, folks.
I tweeted once.
We'll chat on Twitter, but boy, I love when musical theater people, our little niche, tiny little world, loses its mind over something. And Rob, everyone is losing their mind over this West Side Story. It's quite amazing.
They cut
I Feel Pretty, gone. The Dream of the Ballet, gone. The Officer Krupke is going to be in the first act, like the movie. Basically, everything that Sondheim has complained of, like not enjoyed about the piece, they sort of are honoring. I don't know about his opinion on the ballet, but I know that he didn't love his lyrics to "I Feel Pretty," as you can read in his book, "The Finishing the Hat." But
pretty girl in that mirror there.
People, it is a violent reaction that people are having. They're boycotting the show, not going to go see it.
So where do you fall?
This might be controversial, but hey, it is. I'm going to see it. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. I think it's, you know, I think we live in a world where we have the Oklahomas, where they didn't change a note and they didn't change the dialogue, but they definitely changed the point of view of the piece. But I say it's art. Like, why, try, go for it. It's not like, I don't think they're going to license it so that that is the only definitive version you're allowed to do in the country. That would be, you know, horrible. But I think as an experiment, why not?
Go for you know? It. Who cares?
Like, let's just see what you got. Let's see what the art is. Let's see. And I know, I understand all the arguments. I hear that. But I know we're purist about our art form, but our art form's relatively new. And I think we're allowed to think outside the box and explore.
Also, very quickly, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's not like he like rented a Broadway theater on his own. This needed approval from, there's a living author, by the way. So right. He had to approve it.
Right.
And then there's tons of estates.
Estates. Yeah.
And they all had to approve it. So there's obviously something – it's the authors are approving it, which means it's fine. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to do the production like that again. But I'm sorry. Just go for it. What's the worst that can happen? You see it and you don't like it, or you go, "I Feel Pretty" is my favorite song, and if they're not going to do it, I don't want to say – great. You have that choice. Don't – everybody calm down. Everybody calm down.
What if a whole new generation discovers this show and falls in love with it because of something new, ostensibly? You know, what if a younger generation is like, wow, this is hot. Like, man, this is pretty cool.
This is hot. And also, don't forget, West Side Story is based on Romeo and Juliet. So think of all those Shakespeare purists in the 1950s who are like, you're adding what? You're doing what to Romeo and Juliet? Somebody called President Eisenhower. Telegram President Eisenhower and let him know about the tragedy here. Get out of Vietnam. We have a problem.
Yeah, and I'll remind listeners, as you all know, but Music Man was the show that won the Tony Award that year. I mean, West Side Story was not the crowd favorite. I mean, it was a little too weird and too out there. And in the 1957 was sort of
people
like,
wanted to see Robert Preston wear a shako and dance.
Boy, I wish I could have seen him live. Not just sidetrack. So Robert Preston, man, he's good. I think he's fantastic.
He's got a career.
I would have liked to have seen Mac and Mabel. I would have enjoyed sitting in the theater to see that. Yeah. Problematic show. I know the ending's a little tough, but boy, I will never forget the first time I heard that recording, and I was like, "Where have I been? How come I never knew? Why am I, you know, 30 and listening to this for the first time?" I loved it. Absolutely loved that. Has that ever been a favorite thing, Mac and Mabel?
Maybe. If it's not, it should be, because I love that show.
That's
movies
a good one.
Were movies. I'm going to keep singing.
The overture, fantastic overture.
Original choice. Oh, now, wait a minute. I just found this out.
What?
The overture for Mac and Mabel, which is one of the best overtures in the history of musical theater. Did you know it wasn't an overture when you went to see the show live? The show apparently opened in silence with Mac Sennett like coming into the studio and looking around. And that overture is actually the entr'acte.
Isn't that interesting? I feel like I read that somewhere, but I completely forgot.
I had just found that out. So that was. I think I was. Who's Jack Vertel said that? Who's the going out artistic director? Of course.
Yeah.
You know who's replacing him? Jackie Mason.
What's up on the noom?
What? Well, look, again, Caddyshack is a musical. So I'm surprised they haven't made Caddyshack as a musical yet.
Oh, God. There are not many golf musicals out there.
Except golf, period.
Yeah, I remember that when they played off-Broadway like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
And I think the exclamation point was like an inverted T in a golf ball.
It actually was. That's exactly right. Yes,
got a memory like a steel trap, kids.
Wow. Look at us.
Okay, so you got West Side Story. Amazing.
Yeah, that was the big news. I got totally teased this morning with the Broadway briefing because it said parade announces dates or whatever.
And that's why I got excited too.
Literally was like, I scrolled down as fast as I could because I thought, finally, parade, a revival of parade. It's about time.
Get on it, Broadway briefing.
Thanksgiving Day parade. You teased me.
You squeezed me. Get out. Stay out.
Oh, man.
God, you know what? I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I like to listen to that.
I was just going to say the 9 to 5 song. You hear that? And I just tap my toes, and I can't wait to jump out of bed.
Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Like, what's not to like?
What is not to like? Hey, I'll tell you what there's not to like. A favorite thing.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, who wants to go first?
I will go first because I'm feeling your is going to be really fun.
No, mine is not. Mine is bizarre.
We love bizarre here. Mine is actually more mainstream, but I think that the way it became mainstream is interesting, and the story behind it is actually very interesting. This is a Emmy Award-winning telecast from 1972. It stars one of the most famous people of our business. This is, of course, Liza with a Z, directed by Bob Fosse, which won him an Emmy, where he won, you know, I just was talking to students yesterday about, you know, that was the year, 1973, where he won, like, the Tony and everything. You know, it was a big year for him. But this Liza with a Z, I find to be absolutely fascinating because it was, you know, on television, it was a big telecast, you know, back in the 70s, of course, everybody knows this, but you couldn't see things again once it was put on television. You saw it once, and then unless they decided to put it on television again, which they did two times, that was the only time you got to see it. So it was completely lost to viewers after 1973. So you would see Liza with a Z, this great, amazing performance, and I'll talk about some of the songs that she did. And then it was lost. And then Liza had the ownership of the original tapes, but then they thought it was they were lost. They didn't know where they were, and she didn't. And then in 1999, so we're talking 25 years later, they found the canisters with the film on it, and guests and his partner, business partner Craig Zaden and Neil Marin, and Michael Eric, who found them with Liza, they put them back on DVD and gave it to us so that we could see it all these years later. And I just think that is fascinating, that something that was so groundbreaking, and Liza is like at her peak in 1972. And she's dynamic. I mean, she's so sexy and so vibrant and so alive. And it's just, they're fantastic numbers. It's beautifully directed. The sound is amazing on it. And if you can pick up the DVD, it's actually very interesting because they have some fantastic special features on there. So you get her going to the Toronto Film Festival in 2005. You get some interviews, and it's just a lot of great added features. And then my DVD that I had actually comes with the CD of the, even though you can stream this stuff now, but it comes with a CD with it. But some of the numbers to look for: she starts the concert with Yes, which is fantastic. God Bless the Child. I love Liza with a Z. That's one of my favorite songs. A favorite thing many years ago was the concert with Fred Ebb performing Liza with a Z. And, you know, it's no secret that he helped sort of cultivate Liza's moves and sort of taught her kind of a little bit what she knows. And you can see, if you watch him and you watch her, they're like side by side exactly the same. Like, oh, they're down to the tiniest movements. One of my favorite songs is I Gotcha, which, if you want to, for a good time, side note, look up Sasha Velour singing it, because it is a fantastic rendition. But Liza, because Sasha does all the original choreography with two backup dancers, but Liza is fantastic in that. A little suspect is My Mammy. Don't know if that translates to today with the times we live in, but that's okay. You got Bye Bye Blackbird instead, and you've got a whole cabaret medley that is, I mean, obviously she was at her peak and she could sing the shit out of all of this stuff. So my favorite thing is Liza with a Z. Don't just listen to it, watch it. It's the directing of it, and you really see Fosse's, you know, his eye for film. He's still, you know, he's figuring out, Cabaret had just come out or is about to come out. And you really see his style in place here with this. It was filmed at the Lyceum Theater, which I think is really cool as well. Only 8 weeks of rehearsal. It's just, yeah, dynamic. It's Liza at her absolute best.
Let me tell you what happened.
Why is she always coughing?
Is it true, Johnny? It is.
Everyone always starts the impression with coughing. She's like, Mama.
I had the canisters.
Oh, it's old Liza. It's old Liza.
Happy Halloween.
Liza in a muumuu, not Liza in a jumpsuit.
I had the canisters, and they were hidden under piles and piles of telegrams from Joel Grey.
Telegrams?
He's the best. His daddy was an actor, too. And I looked under the telegram. And they were the canisters. So I called Craig and Neil. And I said, Craig and Neil, can we clean this up? Can we put it on?
No, I don't know who that voice is.
That's I don't know, was, but I loved where it was going, but thank you.
And Craig and Neil said, how about a new special? And I said, I don't want to work hard. I have the canisters, and I moved the Joel Grey telegram. Daddy was in vaudeville, too. And we decided to do a new special. And it was going to be me. It was going to be Michael Feinstein. He's so great. It was going to be... Jeffrey Holder. And it was going to be called Liza Dancing. And it was me and Jeffrey Holder and Berenice, but they left me. So we decided to dust off the film and put it on Showtime. You want some jewelry? I have some. I remade the movie with clay. I was in the hospital, and I decided to remake the movie frame by frame like Bobby wanted with clay. And now we're selling it on the Home Shopping Network.
Those videos of her on the Home Shopping Network. Thank you.
We're talking to Doris in Georgia.
Hi, Georgia. You like the clothes? What?
Blink, blink.
You like the clothes? Oh, good. Oh, good.
You can buy 2 bracelets or 3 bracelets or even 5 bracelets. You just need one. Undersell. Liza Minnelli has revolutionized business with the tactic of underselling.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, fantastic.
you're my mentor, too. Whatever your name is.
Yeah, those poor hosts trying to...
Oh my God, that poor one was in there for like 4 hours with her. And you know, it's her in like the size of a closet. Yeah. And you have to keep the conversation going for 4 hours.
What are you
hours.
Talking about? Oh my God. All right, favorite thing? Or are you going to keep going? I couldn't tell. I saw that. I didn't mean to cut you off. I don't know
what else she would sell. I mean, the only thing I would suggest is that she sells like more contemporary products.
Kids, I'd like to sell you a TikTok.
She's like, I've got this sequin muumuu here. Sequin muumuu. Everyone doesn't want that.
Who wants to dab?
You and the dabbing.
I used to do the Dougie. It's named after Doug Lyons, my good friend.
No, it's not. Okay, listen, they can't all be winners. Hey, maybe Liza Minnelli could have played the love interest in the Jackie Mason Mr. President movie.
Yes.
It should have been. Oh, I'm trying to think of a good name for listeners. If you can think of a good name for the Jackie Mason president movie from the 1980s that never got made, what would it be? Hail to the Moyle.
I was going to say there's got to be something that's like kind of like a little like, you know, Moyle Goish, like a play on words with his.
Okay. I got the plot. I got the plot. He Robert Stack. He would have been cast in this.
Of course
Robert Stack.
He's like the chief of staff, you know, like he's like.
Wait a minute. Let me pitch my idea. Robert Stack was the president.
Right.
And he's losing votes. And they're like, you're too waspy. You need a more like ethnic thing. So his favorite butcher is Jackie Mason. And he goes, what about him? And then they bring in Jackie Mason as the vice president. Then Robert Stack dies and Jackie Mason has to take over. And that's how he assumes the presidency.
Brilliant.
Right.
Like an 80s song montage happening over like that. That's just the intro. You're right. That's like the setup for it.
Yes. And then you're right. There needs to be somebody on staff who can like transform him. Oh, okay. And they bring in. OK. Yes. Who's always like the bad. Whoever played Biff in Back to the Future. Can he be in this?
Yes, great.
Okay,
that's
great.
A good one.
Okay.
Or no. There's got to be like a bad boy as well. So like the bad guy from Karate Kid, the asshole kid.
Asshole.
Yeah, like he's like the, I don't know.
Bring like, asshole in.
Yeah, the son of like Robert Stack, who's like amazing. Upset about it.
He's amazing. Like the villain. Who wants to like get Jackie Mason out so he can be the president.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right.
So, but they feel Jackie Mason's too uncultured, so they bring in either Liza Minnelli or Diane Cannon or Sally Kellerman or Loretta Swit.
It's got to be someone that he can like kind of have a little, because he's single, so he's got to like have like a, you know, a little.
And 11. Little, and she's
an
there.
An innocent love
and
thing.
And she's there to train him and teach him to be more refined. Is that your soup spoon? A spoon? But what's a spoon?
Woman.
Can't you use your hands? Oh, you're so charming, Mr. President.
It's great.
Please call me Maury.
Maury.
And a saxophone plays in the background.
Maury Finkelstein or something like that.
The president. What does the president do? He sits here all day. He sits in the office. He goes to the office. They play the band. That's all they do. I want to make meat.
Meat. I love meat.
And then there's a scene at a state dinner where he goes, I heard you sing.
I'm not a singer.
Sing something for me, please. And then, you know, she has to belt out like, you know, I'm Still Here.
Yes.
Or an original song by Mark Shaiman.
I was going to say Marvin Hamlish, but
Marvin
Hamlish.
Oh, even better.
Like,
folks,
it has to be.
We're
like
now going
to
change our Patreon.
Balance.
Please, we want to build a time machine so we can go back in time and build the 80s movies that never was.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe that's my favorite thing. No, my favorite thing is actually.
What
so is guess what I did this weekend, my friend.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
My friend, forgive
me. Watched a television series from 1982.
No. This past weekend, not this upcoming weekend.
Okay. And no, what'd you do? What'd you
yes,
do?
Square Pegs is on my queue. So I have never seen a production of Forever Plaid. I've never seen Forever Plaid. Have you been in Forever Plaid?
You know, no, because
that surprises me.
The only people that are allowed to be in Forever Plaid are people that have done Forever Plaid. It was like the big thing when I came to New York.
It's a catch 22, right?
No, really. It was like the only people that do Forever Plaid is those who already know the vocal parts and the choreography. So yeah, no, it was impossible.
Okay. So you know, okay. I understand. So, I've never seen a production of it. I was so curious about it. My very good friend and a faithful listener to us, Brian Henry, who God bless him, has got his whole cast now listening.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank you, cast.
So we won't talk about the show because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm kidding. It was fabulous. So the show is really wonderful. So Brian,
you saw it live. Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I saw it live. So I went to Springfield, Massachusetts,
to
the Majestic Theater in Springfield. Not where Phantom is playing, but where Forever Plaid is playing. It's this adorable theater in Springfield. If you've not been up there, you should go. It's so cute. It's so, so charming. And the show was lovely. It was a lot of fun. I had a great, great time. And cast is wonderful. Brian is wonderful. There's another Brian and it is wonderful. It's a really good, good production. I will never be in Forever Plaid because I can't sing. But
yes, you can. Don't you think Robert Goulet could be in Forever Plaid?
That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang. And all day long they're going,
But I don't I don't see him doing parts, though. I think he'll always want to sing the lead part.
I
don't see him taking like the bass two line. You know?
In fact, we're calling it Forever Goulet. And they're not going to wear plaid. They're going to wear velvet. And I know you all got cute names like Jinx and Sparky. You're going to just call me Big Dick.
Stupid.
Now, I know the plaids don't bring out guest stars, but I'd like to bring out one right now. This is my favorite man of all time, Harry Belafonte. And then they do the Calypso number together.
Of course they do.
But no.
So Goulet, tell me about Forever Plaid.
So anyway, so afterwards, having a really, really, it was a fun time. And so I was, you know, hanging out with Brian afterwards. And we were talking about Oklahoma. And he goes, kissing's my favorite food. And I laughed. And I was like, oh, that's hysterical. And like, you just make that up? And he goes, no. He goes, that's from the show. I said, no, it's not.
Is.
He says he and I did not think it was. I was like, I said, you're making that up. He goes, I'll prove it to you right now. And he's like, watch this. And this is my favorite thing for this week because I have so many questions. It's a video of Celeste Holm, the original 80 Annie from the 1950s, on a television show singing, I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No. Okay. And she sings it, but then at the end there's this tag where there's all these lyrics I had just for some reason had never heard before, including kissing's my favorite food.
Wait, I feel like would hear them at like Marie's Crisis because there's always one person who knows every single.
Why aren't they doing the tag that was cut in Boston on April 4th? This place has gone downhill ever since they put it in Zagat's. No, I said Zagat's. I just can't believe it. This is horrible. Let me tell you a story. When I first came here to this city in 1991 with a duffel bag, a penny, and a dream, and a thing of Astroglide, and VHS cleaner for VHS cleaner, thank you very much, because we had to go to Blockbuster. They would play everything. I remember when Tom, who used to sit over there, he could literally hum the entire overture to Kwamina while Phil over there would queef the melody. So I don't know what's happened to this world. I don't.
You joke, but that's – I mean, there. When I used to go 15 years ago, we would like have nicknames for some of the people. So would nickname include the Annunciator? Because there was this one guy who like would over-mouth every single lyric.
No man or madness.
Like, every verse of Brush Up Your Shakespeare.
Brush Up Your Shakespeare is too big for these people. They're doing No Other Love Have I.
No, exactly. All right, so what? So last one, what do I type into the YouTube?
Do you want to go to Marie's Crisis this weekend? No, because Tom is playing and he didn't know the act two entract of Keen. So no.
I was really somebody who...
If they want to slum it, we're not slumming.
I wouldn't go. I would hate going on the weekends because they would only play from the cheesy, you know, Disney stuff. Everyone knows, back in the day that you would go during the week because that's when they would play Sondheim and they would play, you know, all the funky stuff.
Which is true. You're right. But they've put it now in tourist books as a destination spot.
It's become so... almost like a caricature of itself, what it used to be, I think. Listen to us. We're like, what it used to be, the old Marie's, my day, where Babe used to sing a song from Chicago. But that's what we called her, the big lady. Who was like,
Babe. I remember Babe. She was great. Babe. She's still working there?
I haven't been, honestly, in, gosh.
When are you going to bring the child?
7 years. I think we'll go maybe next weekend, maybe. Maybe
we'll just let me buy him his first drink.
Yeah, it'd be great. And the bartender is just always grumpy. Yeah.
Oh, the bartender does not want to be there. But listen, if you had to hear like 45 renditions of Waving Through a Window off key, wouldn't you be a little grumpy?
Oh, gosh. All the songs now are so much harder and more contemporary. They're all like driving dramatic songs that have to be done. But, you know, I would want to hear like, you know, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
I'm not going because I want to tell you a story. They have a new pianist and he did not know the words to Very Good Eddie. So I said Very Bad Tommy and I left. I did. I got sassy.
Then I went to the Eagle.
They shush when people shush. They would shush you.
Oh,
you know, when,
yeah.
Babe would start singing, you know.
Babe would sing and be everybody quiet. It's
the
church.
I'm the Mama Morton song. And it was like, don't talk. If you talk, you would get shushed so hard.
I will.
Oh, my God. Okay, so bring us back. All right.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
Celeste Holm.
Just type in Celeste Holm. And it's one of the first things that comes up. It's her singing I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No. But here's the thing.
Yeah,
you found it? Here's what I can't figure out, folks. I need to know if somebody can help me here. Her performance in this I find to be so bizarre. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you what I'm seeing. And I just need help because I think I love Celeste Holm. Folks, is this how she performed it originally? Because the way she starts it is very like low-key and sort of like – what she looks – here's what it looks like. It looks like she's at home and she's in bed, right?
Yes.
And she's sick with like 105-degree fever.
I'm watching it right now.
Yes. And she gets a phone call from NBC. And they're like, Celeste, where are you? And she's like, where? And they're like, you're supposed to come in and sing You Can't Say No live tonight. She goes, what? You have to get here. There's a contract. We're going to sue you. So she rushes in. She's got 105-degree fever. She can barely stand up. She's about to fall over. They put her in a dress. Ed Sullivan is now, here she is from the hit Oklahoma, Celeste Holmia, because he always pronounced everyone's name wrong. And then she comes out, and she's like loopy, and like her eyes are rolling back in her head, and like there's like very low energy.
Yes.
Then when she finishes the number and she gets to the tag, it's like Dr. Feelgood off camera, like has injected her. And at that tag, she is like living her best life and having a good old time. Kissing is her favorite food. So what I need to know, folks, is this downplayed performance what she did originally, and we've just been doing it wrong all these years by making 808 Annie nice and broad, or is this just a fluke and it's just not what she used to do? So, folks, if you saw her or you have an answer to this, let me know. Some of you, maybe you're watching this thing and you're like, "No, this is a great performance." I'm watching it right now. I'm just confused.
And I am completely like my jaw on floor because it's almost like they said, "Play it like you just found out your parents." Are dying. They're dying. I'm sorry, Celeste. They're dying. So now go and say. She seems so put off. But you're right. After the ending of I just watched it, minute 308, and then she goes like she snaps out of it.
Dr.
That's
Fielke,
a moment she has.
He literally crawled on the floor onto the camera and injected her.
It is the weirdest. And she's like hi. She's like
now she's ready.
Bouncing.
Two minutes, Miss Holmes. Are you ready?
You need your vitamins. She needs her vitamins.
Where's Dr. Feelgood?
Oh my goodness.
He's the same one that shoots up Isabel Bigley. That's a new joke. Sorry.
Wow, that wasn't a joke. Wow, that was a good one, Rob.
I just need validation.
No, it's weird. It is very strange.
Well, you know what else is strange?
What?
Kissing's my favorite food. That's not my favorite food. If someone was do you want chicken parm for the rest of your life or you want kisses for the rest of your life? I'd be like, chicken parm, please. Thank you.
I'll take that, please.
If you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, boy, Rob. That's
and don't give me this, I need nutrient shit. Like, don't worry about that.
No. Yeah. Like, it's all good. We got a shawarma truck down here. And I could eat that for the rest of my life with like all of the sauces on top. I want all of that shaved chicken and all of the sauces. That's what I'm probably.
Ooh,
that's. What about you?
Oh, you're a shawarma guy.
I love my.
No, mine would be the chicken parm.
Oh, you really love that chicken
I
parm.
I love chicken parm so much. It's everything I've ever wanted and more.
Well, that was nice, Rob. That was a good time.
So, Miss Liza, tell me, how do I eat the chicken parm in front of the Italian ambassador? You put on sauce.
And there's going to be special appearances, you know, cameos, you know, like Carol Channing will come in at one moment.
Oh, Carol Channing.
You know, all the cabinet members, you know, they'll be
absolutely,
you know, it'll be like just a who's who of Love Boat.
That's exactly. Once you're all filming this episode of Love Boat, Mr. Bosley, can you come over? Tom Bosley and Angela Lansbury. Angela Lansbury can play like a Margaret Thatcher prime minister.
Yep, totally.
Yeah, who has that?
Yeah, all right. If it's mid '80s, then she's not as famous yet. That's because she's a little too She's too big for the movie. I mean, I think
I went to a movie. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that woman. Everywhere she goes, someone dies. I'm being serious. And then she's there to solve the crime. We've talked about this. Well, what a great day. So that was our stuff. That was our favorite thing. And that's that. So,
right.
So once again, you're going to take a look at Celeste Holm. Let us know what the hell's going on. And
yes,
then you're going to go watch Liza with a Z and then go on to the Home Shopping Network and buy some jewelry.
Do watch that for a good time. All right. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.